It's always interesting to think about the fact that we call today Good Friday. Imagine how silly that must sound to those who don't know Jesus, who don't understand how without Good Friday, there is no relationship with God. And that's why we call it Good Friday. Because even though Jesus died, God eternal died that day. That was the victory. That was the day when Satan was defeated, where our sin no longer has hold over our life. So with that in mind, let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all of your blessings. We thank you for the way that you love us, the way that you love us so much that you died for us. Lord, help us to be struck by your sacrifice and to fall more in love with you than we ever have been before. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 6. That's Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 6. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner, for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. They began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his clothes back on him. They led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. They crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there the darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Think about this. Just less than a week earlier, the crowds had lined the streets to welcome Jesus into the city, saying, "Hosanna in the highest," as we saw last week as the kids did the play. And as Jesus came down the aisle, like Jesus came down the streets into Jerusalem, the people were singing out. They were excited. And they were welcoming him in, thinking that he was the promised one, the one that the Old Testament had prophesied. And less than a week later, the same man that had welcomed into the city had now been arrested, and was going to be delivered for crucifixion, for death. One of the things that we see here is there is this contrast, this comparison that the author Mark paints between Barabbas and Jesus. Barabbas is a man who there had been a rebellion and a bunch of people had risen up and tried to overthrow the Roman government. And many of the people who had risen up on that day had killed people. And they had been arrested. And Barabbas was one of those. He had killed someone. By all accounts, he should be put to death. Pilate had every reason to kill him. He had come up in rebellion against the Roman government. He had come up and murdered people. And then there's Jesus. Jesus, who has done nothing wrong except for the fact that he angered the religious leaders of his day. That those who would be leading worship services felt that they were losing some of their influence. So what happens? Pilate always releases one person at that time of year. And so he calls out to the crowd, "Should I release to you the King of the Jews?" He knows that the reason that he's been brought, that Jesus has been brought to him, is because the religious leaders are envious, because the religious leaders don't want the competition, because the religious leaders don't like Jesus. And so he gives the people opportunity to set Jesus free. And what do? They get riled up. These are probably some of the same people who had welcomed him into the city less than a week earlier, yelling, "Hosanna!" And now they've turned on him. And they're shouting, "Crucify him and give us Barabbas." Whenever I think about the comparison between Barabbas and Jesus, I'm struck by the fact that Jesus died so that Barabbas could live. It's a reminder that you and I, like Barabbas, are guilty, and we deserve to die and be in hell for all eternity. But Jesus took our place like he took Barabbas's place. And so once the people had risen up and said, "Crucify him," Pilate says, "All right." And he sends them away. They whip him brutally. Not only do they kill him, punishment, when the government killed people in Jesus' day, it wasn't like in our day when they do lethal injection. It's not some painless thing. They brutalized Jesus so much that he would not have been recognizable. Have you ever seen someone who's gotten into such a fight that their face swells up and their skin looks a completely different color and they just don't look like themselves? If you saw them on the street and weren't expecting to see them, you wouldn't recognize them. That's what happened to Jesus. And what we see is the entire battalion, all the military guys gather around inside the headquarters, inside Pilate's building. And what we see is they mock him. They put a purple cloak on top of him. They put a crown of thorns on top of his head, saying, "Purple is for royalty. You must have a purple cloak." They're saying, here's a crown of thorns because you are a king. Ramming the long thorns into his skull. And they knelt down in front of him, joking and acting like they were lifting him up as a king. Then they removed those clothes and put his old clothes back on him. One of the things that we don't see in this particular passage, but always strikes me when I think about it, is we do this passage that Simon of Cyrene is asked to carry the crossbar. He's asked to carry Jesus' cross. And now what would have happened would have been they would reuse the wood because the wood was so expensive. So this crossbar that Jesus would have been carrying would have been stained with the blood, sweat, and tears of other men. And he would have been carrying it, and he would have had that placed on his back that would have been torn to shreds from the whipping that he had received. And as he's walking, he collapses. Modern medical doctors that have studied crucifixion and looked at the story of Jesus say that having this gigantic crossbar on his back and falling down into the ground, it would have been equivalent to a high-speed car accident with no airbags and no seatbelt, head-on collision. It's believed by many of the doctors that have studied this that a tear in his heart sac happened then. So Simon gets brought along to carry this crossbar for Jesus. Would have nailed him to the crossbar. And the vertical pole that it would be attached to would be lifted up with him on it and then dropped into a hole, jarring his entire body, with nails through the most sensitive nerve areas of him. And then they proceeded to mock him and to make fun of him. Now, often when we look at the pictures of Jesus on the cross, he's up on this high, high vertical pole that's up on the top of a hill. Yes, it would have been on top of a hill, but one of the things that we would see and understand is that crucifixion of men was normally done at eye level. It was done so that passers-by could walk up to him and spit in his face, so that they could mock him and make fun of him. And we see Jesus shout out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time ever, God the Father and God the Son were separated from each other. because God the Father cannot be around sin, and Jesus took on all of our sin. And Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And he breathed his last. Verse 38 is the one that has really struck me the most. In verse 38, it says, "And the curtain of the temple was torn into from top to bottom." So that you guys can get a picture and an understanding of this, what would have happened is in front of the Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of the temple, there was this giant curtain. It would have been about 30 feet wide and 60 feet tall. It was incredibly strong. I heard a few years back that they could have put horses on either end of it, multiple horses, and have them running in either direction, and this curtain still would not have torn. And this curtain, the purpose of this curtain was to protect people from the holiness of God. To separate God from people, because God's holiness and how amazing and good he is could not be around sinful people. Only once a year would anyone go back behind this curtain, and it would be the high priest. And so what we see with this curtain being torn in two is that as Jesus died, God the Father from top to bottom ripped the curtain. Saying because of Jesus' sacrifice, my holiness, my goodness is not restricted to behind this curtain. The Spirit of God is no longer bound up just behind that curtain, but instead he's going out into the world. And we can have a relationship with him. And it's no longer needed for us to have a high priest go back and offer offerings once a year. But instead, our high priest Jesus was the offering. He was the sacrifice, and he died. And because of that, we can have a relationship with Jesus. I love that picture of the curtain being torn in two from top to bottom. Because as I see that, I realize that we can have relationship with God. And that God removed the barrier of our sin, like he removed the curtain that day. Our God is so amazing that he left heaven where he was constantly being praised, where he was in perfect community with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he came down and he lived a sinless life. And he died on the cross in our place, like he died in the place of Barabbas. And he opened up the opportunity for us to have a relationship with God at the expense of his own. Our God is so amazing. He loves us so much. And if you don't know Jesus, I want you to fall in love with him. Imagine in our day someone taking a bullet for you. Wouldn't you want to have a relationship with them? Jesus endured something far worse. He endured the cross. A thing that was so painful that they invented a new word to describe how much pain and agony people had. Excruciating, literally meaning from the cross. And after he had died, 3 days later, he rose from the grave. I'm not going to leave you with just the fact that Jesus died. But 3 days later, he rose from the grave, giving us hope and joy and expectation and excitement over the fact that we, like him, after we die, we will be raised from the dead too, if we know Jesus. If we accept his gift, if we enter into a relationship with him, made available by dying on the cross and ripping the curtain in two. I love Jesus. And I love Good Friday. It's a painful day and it's a painful thing to remember. And as we think about what Jesus has done, we have to remember that that's what we deserve. But he took our place. And because of that, we can live with him forever in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. Thank you for removing the barrier of the curtain and our sin and giving us a relationship with you through Jesus. Lord, help us to fall more in love with you. Help us to desire a relationship with you. Not because you're an angry God who is angry at our sin and we have to try to appease you, but because Jesus took your wrath. And because all we have to do is accept your gift of forgiveness to be loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen.